Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Gene Dean and Bobby Nelson.
Hey, this is Bobby Nelson. Gene Dean's in Maryland. She'll be back on Monday, but this is Wednesday, and Wednesday, what do we do on Wednesday? What? Oh, what? Joe Wyatt, the esteemed professor of psychology at the State University of West Virginia. Glad to have you aboard today, Joe. What's happening on Obamacare?
Good afternoon, Bobby. It's good to be here. On Obamacare, while we have some hearings in D.C., going on as we speak, if you want to see the circus in town?
That's it. But we have different kinds of things happening on Obamacare. You know, there's a kind of a misperception that because the website didn't work very well to get people signed up, that means there's something wrong with the coverage of Obamacare and the cost of Obamacare.
Right.
People saying this is such a train wreck and so on, and indeed, the website had not been adequately tested, because too many people tried to sign up. In contrast, in Kentucky, where Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, their senators, hate Obamacare and hate Obama, there the state is operating the website, and it's working beautifully, and I think they are leading the nation in signups.
Yeah.
And the people need it. That's primarily because the governor, Steve Beshear, said, we're going to do this because our people need it.
And actually, the state that could gain the most from the Affordable Care Act is West Virginia, and the governor and the administration here decided not to do it, to partner with the federal government, and that got us into this web situation. But we could have had that, but we didn't. Another thing that was available, the federal money was funding. They sent several millions of dollars down to West Virginia so that they could hire navigators to really help people get in it. Well, they've only hired about a third of them, and they say, well, we're going to save this till the next round, next year when we start trying to get. I mean, this whole thing is a...
And the navigators are nothing but counselors to help you decide which coverage you want and
exactly
which policy you want.
And not only that, but some nonprofit organizations, I think several here in town, the community service organization, I think HMIG has someone you can go there.
Oh, is that right?
There are two or three
the
around
hospitals
town.
Maybe have.
And even too. Some of the nonprofit organizations, social organizations, they're doing it on their own, some of the hospitals. So that's out there, but the state of West Virginia has been woefully, woefully lacking in getting this whole thing. They don't even have a number you can call. You call the insurance commission, which has the responsibility, and they'll refer you to the government webpage.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bobby, there have been these problems with people trying to sign up, and the wait is too long, and then they get cut off halfway through the process. Now, if you were going to go and buy private insurance, you sure wouldn't do that in 5 minutes. You would shop a lot of different, maybe have agents come to your home to try to sell you the policies. You would need some time to do it, but there have been problems, and it's Obama has acknowledged them. But you realize to blame the government for this, they share some blame for the sign-up problems, but it was four or five private contractors who were responsible for developing the website that they've had their testimony before Congress, you know, this past week. Mm-hmm. Private contractors, not the government, who had to develop the website. So I'm not so sure you can blame the government or Obama for all this. Now, he's the captain of the ship, so he shares some blame. But there's another thought, Bobby. Suppose we got to separate. The problems signing up for the insurance are a whole different thing from what the insurance covers and how much it costs you. Mm-hmm. And for the againers, as I call them, in the Congress and elsewhere, to be saying these website problems just prove that Obamacare is a total train wreck, you know, that's like going over here to the movies and the projector breaks down, and then you say, well, that just proves the movie was no good.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk. Come on, people.
Well, Kathleen Sebelius, who is Secretary of the Health and Human Services, she was on the up before this hostile House committee today, asked me, incidentally, Representative McKinley from West Virginia Republican, who's also a panelist, they treated her like a dog. It really was a dog and pony show. All they did was use their minutes to blast the president for his statement, which was probably worded wrongly. What he said, if you have your insurance and you like it, you can keep it. They're saying now that these insurance companies are canceling policies right and left, and these millions of people are going to be affected. Actually, only about 5%.
5% of the country, which is quite a few people, but
yeah,
still.
I think 10 million, 10 to 12, and it's their private cover. That's what they get outside of either an insurance, you know, a company or their own employer, or if they're
Medicare, Medicaid,
all
yeah.
of that.
About 5%.
It was really hostile the way they treated her. And she said, and she apologized for what's happened, and she covered exactly what you said, that these are a bunch of moving parts with several companies that are putting this together, and it isn't all in sync now. But she said it hasn't crashed. It's just not. It's working fairly slowly and not the way we want it, and erroneous information is going out. So, and they've got this new November 30th deadline that everything will be fixed, and I hope it is.
Well, yeah, and you'll always have a few. I mean, Marshall has had its computer system for years and years, several decades, and once in a while something goes kablooey on it. But you know what Obama said, going back a year or so ago, 3 years ago, he said, look, under ACA or Obamacare, if you have insurance and you're happy with it, you can keep it. Now, what he should have said is you can keep it provided it meets the minimal standards set under Obamacare. And what happened was people with existing coverage, they still could keep it if their insurance company did not change their policy or raise their rates. Mm-hmm. But you have had some insurance companies who have decided to change the coverage and or raise the rates, and they know that that gets them out of compliance with the requirements of Obamacare. So they're sending letters to their policyholders saying, we have to cancel your policy because we were grandfathered in, but we're going to raise your rates, or we're going to reduce your coverage or change it somehow. So now we're not grandfathered in, and they're not saying that, of course. So that means we have to cancel your policy. Now, that these were what some people call junk policies, many of them.
Well, a lot of people buy insurance policies and health insurance, and they really don't look at them or know about them until they really have to use them. They find out a lot of them are just junk. They don't cover
like,
hardly anything.
You mean maternity care is not covered? Gee willikers, you know.
We're certain.
Well, my wife is pregnant. Uh-oh.
You know, the upshot of this, Joe, is that these cancellations, which the insurance company are protecting their own butts on, could lead to people going to exchanges now
and get better
coverage at cheaper cost.
At cheaper cost, absolutely. And that's what they're going to find out.
Now, you had people like Senator Joe Manchin, who had this rolled out this proposed law, bill a couple of weeks ago to delay everything, the enrollment period and every signing up for 1 year. And nobody has bought into that because all it does is allow those who ought to be signing up to wait till another year.
Put it off.
Or just put it off. And meantime, it doesn't serve any real purpose. But that hasn't gotten anywhere. But he's got this habit of jumping out front on a lot of things. Gun legislation, he's all for it until the NRA cracked a whip on him. The same thing recently on voting for one of the president's recommendations for the energy thing. And now today he's come out and said, I am now going to support the new Employment and Non-Discrimination Act, which means it would say that you could not discriminate between persons because of their sexual orientation. He was the last Democrat to do that. Every other Democrat.
He didn't jump out in front on that one, but he jumped on at the end.
At the end, yeah. Which is it's like he's got his finger in the air all the time. But anyway, we're going to put our finger in the air and take a break here. My guest is Joseph Wyatt. Joe, how long have you been a professor of psychology at Marshall?
Since 1980.
Wow. Are you a senior?
I suppose I am. And actually, I'm going to retire in May
from
my position at Marshall. Yes, I am.
Oh, well, there may be some place that you can land.
I plan to continue with the radio as long as I'm asked.
That's good.
Well,
you're a very welcome guest here. Anyway, we have to take a break now, Professor Wyatt. And this is SuperDoc 94.1 FM and AM 930. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is Tri-State Viewpoint on SuperTalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Coming to you today proudly from SuperTalk 94.1. FM and AM 930. We have Professor Joe White here from Marshall University. He's a regular commentator here, and if you'd like to call in and ask Joe a question or just comment on the topics we're covering today, you can call us at 304-399-8255 or toll-free 877-420-8255. Joe, we were talking about Obamacare and the difficulty it's having in rolling it out and getting it together, and there are different angles that people who are against this are taking to try to shoot it down. It seems like every day they come up with a new complaint that they hope will get traction and get this thing going downhill.
They do, and one of the things that's happened is the myth, actually, that lots and lots of employers are cutting people back to part-time, mm-hmm. because if you have 50 or more employees full-time, then you have to cover them by Obamacare. And full-time is generally thought of as 35 hours a week, but or more. But to show you how the misinformation gets out there, and this is going to make all the people who think Fox News is just so honest, this is either going to upset you or inform you or both. But here's what happened recently. A week ago Friday, one of their stars, Sean Hannity, who has a prestigious program on, he had three families, three husbands and wives, on his show to talk about Obamacare, and he introduced it saying these are three average Americans. They're feeling the pain of Obamacare, and six of them are with us here tonight to tell us their stories, and these are stories the media refuses to cover. Now, they told how Obamacare was just killing them, so to speak, their businesses and so on. And a reporter for Salon.com, a sort of progressive website, actually, after the show was over, said something didn't smell right to him about this. So he called each of these three couples and interviewed them. Mm-hmm. Now, the first couple that Sean Hannity had had on, and none of this that he discovered was mentioned on Hannity's program on Fox News. The first, Paul Cox and his wife Michelle from North Carolina, and they were saying to Hannity on the air how they couldn't grow their construction business because they've kept their employees below a certain number of hours so that they remain part-timers. Now, the Salon reporter called Mr. Cox and said, "What about that?" Turns out, Mr. Cox said, "Well, we only have four employees," and so it is not possible that Obamacare's mandate that he buy insurance for his employees affected him. And so why did he cut back his workforce from maybe five to four? I don't know. He said, well, he just chose to do so because of increased costs. The reporter says to Mr. Cox, "Were any of those costs due to Obamacare?" "No, not really. I'll call you back." And he never did. Now, that's the first couple. Hannity had two other couples. The second one was a woman named Dennis and her husband, Allison Dennis. And she told Hannity that she was paying $13,000 a year in insurance premiums and that she recently got a letter from Blue Cross saying her policy would be canceled and that she could get a new Obamacare-compliant policy in its place. And she says, this shows that Obama lied when he promised Americans that we could keep our existing policies. Now, we've already talked about why that happened. There was a perfectly good rationale for it. But the reporter asked her if she and her husband had checked out the Obamacare exchanges or website policies. And she said no. She had been opposed to Obamacare, and so she hadn't even looked at the website. So the reporter took their basic information, you know, their ages, whether they were smugglers, a few other things, and their incomes. And he began shopping on the Obamacare exchanges for Mrs. Dennis and her husband. And he found a policy for $7,600 a year. Now, remember, she said she'd been paying $20,000 for $7,600 a year. That would cover them the same coverage, plus it would cover their disabled, their uninsurable daughter, who their previous insurance company wouldn't cover at all, and they haven't even looked for this. Now, the third couple, real quick, Robbie and Tina Robinson from Tennessee, He's a self-employed Christian youth motivational speaker. And on the Hannity show, he said that they were recently notified that their policy would expire because it didn't comply with the Obamacare regulations, and that the Blue Cross was offering them a new policy, but it would cost them 50 or 75% more. Similarly, the reporter then got their information, got on the insurance exchanges, and found where they had been paying about $10,000 a year for not very good coverage, they could now get it for $3,700 a year. So now none of that was discussed on Hannity's program. So you can see when you have a news agency, which is little more than the mouthpiece for the conservative Republican Party, you're not going to get the facts.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that information forward, and that sounds like it may be a candidate for Liar of the Week, but we'll find out later on that. But
well, I have a different one, actually. They could have been. Hannity could have been.
Yeah.
But he could be every week.
Yeah, every week. Actually, according to information in the Washington Post, about 330,000 people have gotten far enough into the exchange to find out what kind of the credits they would get and what kind of costs they would get. And they were over 1.3 million requests have been made to the IRS, which provides some of the background information they need. And they're getting 80,000 requests a day for information. So people really are trying to get into this and to get information. And Joe, the sad thing about it is here in West Virginia, under Obamacare, we have about 270,000 West Virginians who have no health insurance, and about 219,000 of those will qualify for this insurance. We qualify better than any other state. Now, we are expanding coverage under Medicaid, which will get about 60,000, but we stand to gain the most, but it's been the most difficult state, in my opinion, to get anything going. But the good thing is that I think even some Republicans today at this hearing where they jumped on the Secretary of Civilians have now said that this thing has had 40 different bills passed to defund it. It's going all the way to the Supreme Court. It was an issue in the election, and people said we want to keep it. The polls say they want to keep it. Now some Republicans are saying we want to try and fix it, but we want a formal apology from the President of the United States for lying. And he should have used different words, but what he said was actually true. That if you have to keep it,
I hadn't heard that they said that.
Yeah, and the idea that the secretary was up there trying to explain and apologize for these problems that they didn't anticipate.
That mainly were the result of private contractors that the Republican Party is so hot about, you know. So
and Kathleen Sebelius is not some. Probably just came off the street to be secretary. She was raised over here in Cincinnati. She's the daughter of former governor of John Gilligan of Ohio. She was a state insurance commissioner in Kansas. She was a member of the Kansas House of Representatives. She's governor of that state. I mean, she has a good pedigree and she's got a good feel. She worked in the insurance industry. She was a state insurance commissioner. So she knows her business, and I think this effort to find some way to continue to undermine Obama gets more bizarre with every hearing.
You know, Bobby, the negativity toward Obama is so irrational. The Republicans and people I know, they say things like he's ruining America, but they can never tell me why. They can't give me specifics. If President Obama could arrange the second coming of Christ, they would oppose it. It's really irrational, and I think that their problem is that the country and the culture are changing, which it always is, and it's no more black and white TV 1950s version of America, and it never will be that again. And they're just, for some folks, it's real hard to accept that. You know, I was born and raised in West Virginia, like you were, and I didn't come from some wealthy family. I mean, we were just very middle class and had the basics and not much more. I don't feel like that. I mean, things always change, and we have to adapt and accept some of it. There might be some changes we shouldn't accept, but I believe it's so many things like we have a black in the White House. And some people can't accept that. And we have this rising Latin population in America. Some people can't accept that. And it just goes on and on, and but things are different. And
well,
so
they are different, and part of it is there seems to be a growing disparity between the haves and the have-nots in this country. We are losing pretty much the core, I think, of the middle class. I don't know if we even have a middle class anymore. But the people who are well off, they don't seem to want to do their part to help the lesser. If we have a country and we all believe in freedom and equality, and we have a third of our people who go to bed hungry at night, children who don't eat, no health care, wouldn't we, if we have a responsibility to a country, wouldn't we want to help them?
We sure would. And it's just me first, and it's all about me. Instead of we're all in it together, there's a kind of, historically, anyway, the social contract that has been part of America since its inception, really,
right,
is that we do tend to look after each other, but maybe that's just part of the cultural change, too, that I was describing. It's just not a good change.
Well, it is it is not a good change, and then you have political actions or other things, like the United suit, where now corporations are people and can buy elections. We have gerrymandering that has resulted in in many states being red states, and almost all the red states are opposed to Obamacare and are doing everything they can to keep it from coming into effect.
And they're going to lose the presidency again. Hello, President Hillary, I think, is coming up.
I think you're right. And I think we're having we have to take a break here. We're halfway through the program. My guest is Professor Joe Wyatt from Marshall University. And this is Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. You'd like to give us a call? 304-399-8255. 877-420-8255. Someone said we should give those numbers too fast. We did have a caller to call in, Joe. She questioned the ethnicity?
Why do I call Obama the first black president when actually he is mixed race?
Yeah, I think that's
the caller told our producer, Ernie. And the answer is this. Two things. Legally, the definition of black or African American does not have to be someone who is fully black with no other blood in them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a legal definition. But second is there's almost nobody who's thought of as black that isn't mixed race anymore. I do recall as a child it was quite common, and I'm 66, it was quite common to see a very black-skinned, dark, real, real dark-skinned black person. But these days, no, you don't see that because of the racial mixing. And so now we have, should I say brown? He's not the first black, he's the first brown. Anyway, non-white, and for all I know, I don't know. I mean, there could be a couple of African Americans in my genetic history, but I wouldn't have a clue and wouldn't much care.
Well, so, regardless of his color, he is the elected president of the United States, and he should be respected as such without regard to color, creed, or anything else. If he's an American citizen, and the people through popular election said he's our man, who are we to, if you don't like it, run for president yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of the changing culture, and we've got our first black president. I think we'll have our first female president next time around.
That's a very good possibility. While we're on this...
she is, I think, completely female. She's not mixed.
And I think she's a completely Caucasian, completely white.
So there we are.
I guess it passed the test then.
Completely radical, liberal, commune.
You know, they did some exit polling of West Virginians who voted in the last presidential election, and they asked them who they voted for and why. And 25% said they voted against, did not vote for Obama because he was black.
And you know what? Every one of them is in the 47% that Mitt Romney says is shiftless and he can't make them take responsibility. It doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't. Of all the states, you know, where 25% of our people in this state live in poverty, and all of those are great many children.
Mm-hmm.
And our health facilities are almost the worst in the nation. Our graduation rates, the health of our people, we're at the bottom about everything. Yet here is a program that can help. And yet the very people that we elect to office, like David McKinley and Shelley Moore Capito and even Joe Manchin, they're up there fighting this effort. I can't understand how they say we're representing the people of West Virginia when these programs, just by definition, would help almost a third of our population.
Just think of it. Capito and David McKinley, now, if people don't know, he is our member of the U.S. House from up in the northern third of the state, Morgantown and environs.
Wheeling, Morgantown, and down into Parkersburg.
And Shelley Moore Capito is from Point Pleasant up in Mason County all the way through Charleston to the eastern panhandle.
To the Potomac River, from Ohio to the Potomac.
And voting more than 40 times to do away with a health care plan that has in it yearly vision checkups, yearly dental checkups and treatment for children, and mental health care, and substance abuse care, and all the basic ER hospital, in the hospital
and
care,
no more
outpatient visits to your family doctor, and they vote against them.
Yeah, no more pre-existing conditions as a bar. The discrimination against women, higher rates for women than men, and all these has been done away with in the Affordable Care Act. And so many West Virginians, we have an inordinate number of people who a good part of their income is Social Security in this state. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you are a veteran and you're receiving veterans coverage and everything, this won't affect you at all, the health coverage. You that because the VA qualifies. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. So, you know, you're talking about a program here that is going to be very, very beneficial, not only to West Virginia, but people in those categories across the country. And for a country that prides itself as the richest on earth and the greatest, and when we have almost 20% of our people living in poverty, that's a disgrace.
And by the way, Bobby, some folks are saying Obamacare is causing employers to shut down their full-time employment and put in more part-timers and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, would you believe it was the Wall Street Journal which studied into this and said, no, as a matter of fact, there has been a decline in part-time employment as a percentage of the total people employed in the past year or two. Now, the Wall Street Journal is not exactly a radical liberal newspaper. It's, in fact, very conservative. Mm-hmm. So even the moaning that, and I don't doubt that somewhere some employer who had about 53 employees cut back to just 49 so that his business wouldn't be covered by Obamacare, get under the 50 limit, I think that's bound to have happened, the country being as big as it is. But in general, the number of part-timers as a percentage of the total workforce is declining. More full-timers, not part-timers.
Well, not only that, if you have a small company and you have under 50 employees, and it may be well that they can go to an exchange and get their insurance and get a good rate, and that makes them a better employee because they know they have the assurance of a quality health insurance plan that they otherwise wouldn't be able to get maybe from a small employer.
Probably helps the business because his employees don't leave his business to go take a job across town where they have insurance. They have it through one of the exchanges. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to beat this to death because I think the Republicans try to keep this whole debate going so that they can try to find either support or some way to shoot it down. It just isn't going to happen because the arguments they make just don't hold water. But the other thing, Joe, they don't have a plan. They have nothing to replace. They just want to kill it. They don't have any substitute or anything. They just
John Boehner. I mean, he hasn't tried to put forth a health care plan. I mean, ever, as far as I know. So, no.
Well, it boggles the mind to think that and John Boehner was in a little bit of a spot because the Tea Party members of the Republican members of Congress that have control over some of the establishment Republicans, they run the show, and they tell basically Boehner, you either follow what we want or we will remove you as Speaker as soon as we can. And so these people don't have to worry about getting reelected, Joe, because they're in a gerrymandered Republican red district. But what it is doing in terms of they were willing to take this country into bankruptcy. They were shut down the government for 16 days to try and defeat a bill that a majority of the people want and has gone through the test of fire.
Yeah, and this wasn't actually a bill under discussion in the Congress. This was a law that had been enacted 3 years ago and validated by the U.S. Supreme Court and then the most recent election of the president, where health care was the big issue.
Was the issue.
And so they want to go back and talk about it like it's a bill still under discussion.
Yeah.
That's just not
I think his margin
ridiculous.
Is like about 5 million votes of margin here on his re-election. Not only that.
And the Electoral College, it was a
landslide
of like 2-1 Obama.
That's the one that counts, too. Well, yeah. Not only that, but the debate, the discussion, when this bill was in it, working its way through Congress, there was innumerable hearings, public hearings, witnesses coming in, everybody, and even some of the, a couple of Republicans voted to bring it to the floor, but when it was passed by the Congress, not one Republican voted for it.
Yeah, they had the infamous Senate Gang of Six, which mm-hmm. was three Democrats and three Republicans. It was mm-hmm. Max Baucus, Democrat, mm-hmm. head of the Finance Committee in the Senate, and Charles Grassley, the ranking uh-huh. minority member, plus two other Democrats and two other Republicans. And they had, I think, 31 sessions where they hammered out the details of Obamacare and in the end passed it out of the Finance Committee to the full Senate. Uh-huh. And one Republican in the Finance Committee, Olympia Snow, actually voted to pass it out of the Finance Committee. Uh-huh. But then she didn't even vote for it in the full Senate, right. So I think it passed 60-39. And then it went to the U.S. House, where for 2-3 months they had another bunch of hearings. And numerous, I mean dozens of Republican amendments were adopted by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing passed the House and was signed by Obama into law back in, what was it, March of 2010,
mm-hmm.
later validated by the U.S. Supreme Court.
And then since then, we've had these 40-some votes in the House to defund it. We've had to shut down the government. Why, in God's name, Joe, if it's a proposal that's going to be healthy for the people of this country that's clearly demonstrated, why is it a philosophical, ideological? Why are people, the Republican, not all Republicans, but this very hardcore right Tea Party who are in safe districts so they can jump off the cliff? But
you know, part of it, I think, Bobby, part of their reasoning is they are very reluctant to admit that for several decades they have had a wrong philosophy about the role of government. The country is too big, in my view, not mm-hmm. to have government, and a significant government. Doesn't mean we're going to be communists or socialists. It just mm-hmm. means the country's too big not to have an FAA to control the airports and air travel, and mm-hmm. it's too big not to have an interstate highway system, and too big not to have a military, too mm-hmm. big not to have some form of medical care for virtually everybody, too big not to have government inspections mm-hmm. of coal mine dust yeah. that's going to explode and kill 29 people.
Or your food and, you eat, or the water you drink, or the air you
yeah,
breathe.
Yeah, I mean, so we need some form of government. Well, it's just, we've got to do that. And remember Ronald Reagan's famous quote, government's not the solution, it's the problem. And he was part of the problem for saying that. But so many people believe in this, the government is the monster. Mm-hmm. And there have been times it's gone out of hand a bit, maybe. But we need some amount of government.
Well, that is at the heart of the Republican philosophy, that the least government is the best government. Now, that's taken to an additional extreme by the Tea Party, who says the only government
no
we
government.
Want is defense, and then leave the rest up to let people mm-hmm. fend for themselves, let state, and we don't need any rules to take care of anything. It is so bizarre, but people buy that crap.
Yeah, it sounds so good if you don't think about it very deeply.
Yeah.
One of our purposes here is to get people into some of the details, and you see that it's not as easy as just saying, oh, the government's the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That sounded real good for Ronald Reagan to say it in a campaign ad, but it just isn't true.
Well, a very good example occurred just the day before. They had the anniversary of Hurricane Sandy that hit the East
yeah.
Coast, and it
a couple days ago,
destroyed
yeah.
the towns and the oceanfront in New Jersey and New York. Where, if we had no government, this had to be the states or the local government, where would they be in trying to recover?
It would be chaos, Armageddon.
Yeah.
It would be awful. I mean, it's bad enough the way it uh-huh. is.
But at least the governor of New Jersey, Christie, said, I appreciate the federal government, and President Obama went over there and said, mm-hmm. we're gonna help with this. But you got to have a government. And Joe, one of the provisions of the Constitution in the preamble is to look out for the general welfare of the people.
That's part of the founders. Tell me about
exactly.
the founders. They said that it's the job of the government to promote the general welfare.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. there you go. And they didn't mean food stamps when they said welfare. They meant well-being.
Well-being, yeah. Probably the welfare term wasn't even around back in the 1700s. Anyway, we've got to take our final break here. We still tell you, if you want to give us a call, well, you still can do it, 304-399-8255, 877-420-8255. We'll be back. Stay with us on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Now, back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. You know, I want to shift gears a little bit here. There was a little brouhaha about a month or two ago when the state attorney general thought that the two clinics in West Virginia that provide health care to women, including abortions, legal abortions, and he said that they needed to be looked at and they need to maybe have their license checked and everything. And there's no requirement that the attorney general can demand this kind of. He wrote a letter and asked him to answer a lot of questions, and they basically said we're in conformance with the law.
He was trying to intimidate the two clinics that provide abortions by writing them letters and asking nosy questions.
And he's a very strong anti-abortionist. But there's also a doctor up in Charleston with the West Virginia University Medical School, Charleston. His name is Dr. Byron Calhoun, and he wrote a letter to the attorney general complaining that a licensed nurse midwife should have her license revoked because she was performing an abortion or she was doing things that were against the law. Now, he never talked to this midwife. He never talked to the patient of this midwife. He just filed this complaint. So the last week, the state, the Board of Examiners of Registered Professional Nurses, they looked at this complaint and everything, and here's what they said. Sarah Brown, who is executive director, said the Board of Nursing did a thorough investigation and came to the conclusion that Angie, that's Angelita Nixon, who was the midwifery person there, provided excellent care, the same conclusion that we already knew and one that Dr. Calhoun would have reached if he had consulted with Angie or me on the care and the time it's taken to look at the medical record. And they basically said that this was totally without any weight whatsoever.
What has happened is Dr. Calhoun, who is, I guess, some sort of national figure in anti-abortion activities, he had earlier joined with our Attorney General, Patrick mm-hmm. Morrissey, to try to fuel this one lawsuit against one of the abortion clinics in Charleston when a woman filed a lawsuit against them. Dr. Calhoun was by her side as an expert witness. Now that has to go to court. There hadn't even been any discovery yet, I don't think. But anyway, Dr. Calhoun's name popped up again when a woman in Charleston, a pregnant woman, Sarah Brown, who she and her husband both, I think, are lawyers, so they can mm-hmm. look after themselves. But she was going to have her baby at home with nurse midwife Angelita Nixon mm-hmm. doing the delivery. As the labor progressed, it kind of bogged down, and so they ended up going to the hospital, and she had the baby in the hospital. And for some reason, Dr. Calhoun was lurking in the room, maybe because he's the chief of OBGYN. He had a right to be there. He wasn't involved with the labor and delivery otherwise. But then he turns around and he writes to the Attorney General, Mr. Morrissey, saying that criminal charges should be filed against the nurse midwife for mm-hmm. some reason or other. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Calhoun had not even taken a complaint to the nurses' licensing board yet, which would be the obvious mm-hmm. step. And as it turns out, he finally did that, I guess because the attorney general decided he should do that. And the nurse licensing board looked at the case upside down and backwards and said there is no case. Mm-hmm. The nurse midwife, Angelita Nixon, didn't do anything wrong. In fact, what she did was right. So Dr. Calhoun, and it's really unfortunate that this is a person who is less than objective about his mm-hmm. role as an anti, if he wants to be anti-abortion, fine, but his role as a professional, as a physician, He's kind of losing perspective, it sounds like to me. If I'm wrong, maybe he'll call up and correct me or something.
Very quickly, Dr. Calhoun serves as the medical advisor for the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, which is an anti-abortion group. So
there you go.
He uses his position to further that that cause. Okay, we've got time left here to talk about the Liar of the Week.
Liar of the Week. This week it is the grandma, if not the mother, of female conservatives in America, Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly, on the anniversary of the dedication of the Statue of Liberty, would you believe she said the Statue of Liberty has absolutely nothing to do with immigration, so forget it. So, Ernie, can you play Phyllis Schlafly?
When the Statue of Liberty was relighted after a restoration, President Ronald Reagan said in 1986, "I've always thought that God had his reasons for placing this land here between two great oceans." The Statue of Liberty memorializes the unique liberty we enjoy in America. It has nothing whatever to do with immigration. It is most unfortunate that people who had nothing to do with this great gift from the French were allowed to paste a plaque on the base of the statue with a quotation that has misrepresented the statue as an invitation to open immigration. The statue has nothing to do with immigration. Remember, it is the Statue of Liberty, not the Statue of Immigration.
Well, there you go. The Statue of Liberty, the first thing that immigrants see when they go into New York Harbor, has nothing to do with immigration. The great symbol of give me your wretched, your poor, your tired, huddled masses yearning to be free, has nothing to do with immigration. But actually, Phyllis Schlafly was lying for another reason. She conveniently left out the part of the speech in which Ronald Reagan said, "Which of us does not think of the other grandfathers and grandmothers from so many places around the globe for whom this statue was the first glimpse of America?" Phyllis Schlafly,
wow.
Liar of the Week.
That is amazing. Well, you know, the diversity of this country is one of its strengths, the melting pot.
And
I'm looking at one right across the room here. If it had been for his father or grandfather, he would still be growing grapes in Italy.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. And she said that just recently?
She said that last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Well, listen, Joe, it's been interesting today. We've covered a lot of territory, but glad to have you as always. Look forward to you again next week. And, folks, we still encourage you to give us a call. We're here to either discuss and answer questions, and glad to have you. So that's going to take care of today's show. This is Bobby Nelson on Tri-State Viewpoint saying good day and good luck.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, morning 6 to 10 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRBC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.